episodes. Please turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'm going to get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for all of the intercessors that are here with us tonight. I thank you, Father, that you are raising up such a powerful army of force in the earth to fight against the plans of the enemy. I thank you, Father God, for their heart to serve you. I thank you, Father, that you continue to encourage us, expand our understanding, and mature us as we fight on behalf of this nation. Settle things around us, Lord. As we seek your face, settle things around us so we can stay focused and accomplish all that you have for us tonight. In your precious and holy name, amen. So last week I talked about the church, the ecclesia, and we're a little bit about where God is calling us. And, you know, I have been little by little talking more and more about the church because God is wanting us to come up and out of the world. That's what ecclesia means, is those called out of the world and up to God. And we need to live as though we are called out of the world and up to God. The church age is very introspective. The Lord told me that. It looks inward. We spent a lot of time in the church age, a lot of time in the last 50 years, where we have been preparing for the Lord to come get us, building within and preparing for the Lord's return. And the Lord has called us to live in a kingdom age. And a kingdom age is extrospective. That means we look outward. And it's time for us, his body, to transition our hearts and our minds according to his will. So what does that look like? Everything that we do to bring forth the kingdom of heaven to earth. We're the light and of the living God that walks the earth. We press into God. We press into his word. We press into truth so that everything that pours out of us is his divine and holy will. We become the influencers of nations because we're a gateway from which heaven can pour out into this earth. In 1 Kings, now I'm going to be talking about the worship of Baal tonight. Because as the decision was released, you know, was released to the public about Roe versus Wade, we need to understand what that means, what it means for our country, what it means for us as his people, and what it means for us as in the days ahead, and how we need to pray. We need to understand really and truly what it means when abortion is allowed in a nation so that we can fight against it. When the decision was made on this case, the Mississippi case, before the Supreme Court, there were some options. One of the options was simply to allow the Mississippi decision to stand. It would have set precedents, and the Mississippi decision, and what they decided was that there would be no more abortions in their state beyond 15 weeks. And that is what worked its way up to the Supreme Court as the abortion clinic began to fight against that. So when the Supreme Court heard the decision, they could have decided simply to allow the Mississippi case to stand, the Mississippi state to retain what they have decided for their people. That was one path they could go. And one justice did agree with that. He felt that that's what we should decide. Is we'll allow the Mississippi decision to stand. But five other justices chose the most extreme decision, and that is to overturn Roe versus Wade. What does that mean for us? That means that we've got to pray until this decision is officially released. We have to pray because they already are planning riots and protests outside of churches on Mother's Day. Little do they know, they're just validating mothers, right? But on Mother's Day, they're planning riots outside churches on this decision. There is an enhanced police presence around the justices to protect them because there have been threats against their lives. We must pray so that when this decision comes forth officially, that's the important thing right now, officially, they're saying that nowhere in the Constitution is there a right for a woman to have an abortion. Ginsburg said that case never should have gone before the Supreme Court. And so they have decided to overturn Roe versus Wade based on our Constitution, something we've been praying for 2 decades. We've been praying for reinstatement of our Constitution according to the founders and how they wrote it. When this decision is officially released, it will kick it back down to the state level. And so what they've decided is that the states will have the right to decide what takes place within their jurisdiction. And so people will vote for the people that will pass legislation that depict their hearts, their minds, their morals, their values. Now, we know that they're trying already in Congress to codify Roe versus Wade, meaning that their plan is to try to make it law nationwide. And chances of that happening are very slim, very, very slim, because they need, I think, a 60-65% in the Senate, and they won't have that. But we still need to pray, because the abortion industry is a multi-million, even billion-dollar industry. So the people that fund this, the people that rely on the money that comes for abortions and every single step of the way, they're hopping mad at this decision because it will start to dry up their pockets. And so we as a people need to understand exactly what it means so that we can pray accordingly. Now, the Lord has given me several visions on this. I want to talk about 1 Kings chapter 18 because we need to see what the scripture says about this. And I'm going to talk about Baal worship a little bit because we need to understand what this means. The worship of Moloch and the worship of Baal involved a lot of the same things, a lot of the same elements. When Elijah said, there's not going to be rain until I say. Why did he say that to Ahab and Jezebel? Because of the unbelievable idolatry that was taking place in their nation. This was the first time in Israel's history under Jezebel and Ahab that a civil power was used to destroy true religion, and that by a woman, no less. So when Elijah challenged what was taking place in the nation of Israel, he was challenging a political power. He was challenging that which was preventing the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, from worshiping the true God, and that idolatry that was releasing bloodletting across that land. We deal with the same thing here. When you see idolatry that involves abortion, that's the shedding of innocent blood. When you see this take place and begin to increase and enhance in a government, somewhere in the recesses of those offices, there is really bloodletting going on. No one makes a decision to sign off on that kind of legislation that they are not also involved in it. This is not about a woman's right to choose. Her choice begins before conception. That's when her choice begins. She's hiding and adding, compiling sin upon sin for her indiscretions. This is about idolatry and bloodletting that occurs in a nation. And the elite provoke this time and time again to increase it more and more. Why? So they can swallow up a nation. Make no mistake, this is their goal. So when Elijah came, it was the time. It had been 3 years. Chapter 18, verse 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house, Ahab's house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them on bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land unto all the fountains of water, unto all the bricks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Verse 7, and as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord? Art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. So Obadiah's first response, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? And so they have this conversation, and he says, it's time. Go tell him I'm here. Now, as I read through this, I thought, Obadiah, who hid the prophets, he was a good man. He worked in Ahab's house, but he feared the Lord, and he protected and preserved the prophets that Jezebel was trying to kill. So I am not coming against Obadiah, but his fear of leadership was present because he feared Ahab and Jezebel would have his head if he said Elijah is here. And this is something that we see take place in the church. We fear so we don't take action. Obadiah eventually goes, we know the story, but we fear so we don't take the action we need to take. 50 years ago, when Roe was decided upon, there were a few protesters out there saying this should not happen. But because the church's voice had been silenced by the Johnson Amendment, the church did not rise up like it should. We feared. When there was legislation that was being passed in state after state that would allow abortion to continue, that would possibly prohibit abortion, the church at large fell silent. Why? Because they were afraid that the government would take their head. it's time for the ecclesia to arise and align themselves with the Lord. It doesn't matter if they take our 501c3s. It doesn't matter if they try to close our church doors. We are talking about the life of the unborn. And we must arise. We must arise and let our voice be heard. If the church does not influence a nation's policy, the enemy surely will. We are here at the Jubilee of Roe versus Wade. The first case, the first decision was at the end of 71. It was reheard in 72, and that decision, just like what's happened, was released 6 months later, which was in January of 73. We are literally at the Jubilee, where the bondage, our children are under bondage. The church must arise and fight. This is our chance. And this is the call of the Lord upon the intercessors. So Obadiah tells Ahab. Ahab goes and he sees Elijah. And he says in verse 17, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said to him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent to all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel." Now this is a great battle, right? This is the battle, and my mom had bought my kids. We've also gotten them for my grandkids. The video of this by Nest Entertainment, and it's brilliant, and they have them out there, and they're at the top of Mount Carmel, and they've got the two altars built, they've got the stones there, and they're out there, and they've got the bulls slaughtered on top of both altars, and here we have the prophets of Baal, and they're out there, and they're just chanting around this altar, and they are calling upon their God to come and send fire down to consume the sacrifice. And it's all day, and Elijah is just taunting them. Maybe he's away on a long journey. Maybe he'll be back by sundown. Maybe he's asleep. Why don't you shout a little bit louder and awaken him by time? And they're cutting themselves, which is what they do in idol worship. They call through their own bloodletting. They call through human sacrifice. This is what they do in idolatry. And so here they are. By time they're done, they're hoarse. They're dragging their feet. Most of them are laying on the ground from sheer exhaustion. And then it's the Lord God. Elijah steps forward. He says, pour water on the altar. Now remember, at the beginning of this chapter, they're looking for enough water to keep the mules and the horses from dying. They're looking for enough grass that has been watered by these remote pools of water to keep the horses and the mules alive. So water is very scarce. Elijah says, pour water on the altar. So they dump water. He says, more. And they dump some more. And he says, do it again. And they dump some more. He says, do it again until there is no more water in their containers. And he goes down where? On his knees before the Lord God Almighty. And he says, Lord, show yourself. Send forth your fire. Elijah knew, because he is the servant of the Most High God. And suddenly, from heaven, the heavens open up and fire shoots down from the heavens and it swirls around and it laps up all of the water. And the Bible says that it laps up all of the water. It consumes the animals on the altars. It consumes that which is on the altar, those that were from the prophets of Baal. It consumes it all. And up the fire goes back into the heavens. And the prophets of Baal are left shaken. Jezebel is left shaken. Ahab is left shaken. Why? Because the great showdown has proven the one true God. He is the great I am. And at that moment, Elijah takes and he slays all of the prophets of Baal. What happens in the midst of their idolatrous acts? They enter through the arch of Baal. They would enter through this arch, and there was this big arena. And in that arena, acts that I will not repeat on this line take place. Children are conceived, and they are brought back the next year, and they are offered on the altar of fire to Baal. That's the worship they engage in on an annual basis for fertility and for blessings upon the land. That was the purpose of it. And you say, well, we don't do that anymore. If a government is passing legislation to support abortion somewhere in the recesses of those halls, yes, they are. And if we do not recognize it for what it is, they will try to codify this. We have the opportunity. Last night in Louisiana, they declared it murder, punishable by law if someone does an abortion in Louisiana. They passed it. This is a nation that state by state, we are fighting for the life of the unborn. When this is completed, as the Lord has promised, we will have to keep this fight and not allow them to slip through the cracks again. He said, well, they don't do that anymore. Okay. In 2016, when President Trump was running for office, a 3D replication of the Arch of Baal was put in New York City, and it was there for a week. During that week, legislation was signed by Cuomo, the most progressive abortion legislation in the nation. Guess who was sitting by his side? Hillary Clinton. During the Kavanaugh trials, there was another Arch of Baal erected. And when Stormy, I can't remember her name. But when she was supposed to come in, which she did, and give her testimony about how Kavanaugh had violated her back in college, that arch was set up, and you could see the Supreme Court through the arch. Why would they do that? If there was not an agenda taking place to further abortion and prevent the overturning of Roe versus Wade. CBN did a special on this. In London, when the arch was erected, it was being videotaped, and two demons could be seen flying down, down, down across their Capitol building and into the arch where it disappeared. Two were caught on camera. Imagine what took place in New York in 2016 and in during the Kavanaugh hearings in 2018. This is what the Democratic platform is all about. And the Lord says, I am bringing judgment to the ideology of the Democratic Party. Because their ideology is one of death. Everything they do, every plan they make, is to bring our nation into greater bondage. And there's no faster way to achieve that than through bloodletting. So right now, we are in the battle. We have been this year in a very significant fight. We're in the battle on Mount Carmel, fighting for the soul of this nation, fighting for the lives of the unborn. In this battle, once that decision is officially released, we've got to keep praying for our justices, that God will keep them safe. But this battle will then need to be taken to the 24 remaining states that have abortion legislation. This is the most exciting time in my lifetime. It has been the hardest 2 years of my life. I'm not even kidding. But it is the most exciting time of my life because I am about to see the promise of God fulfilled in our nation. Last year and early this year, I had several visions and I had a dream about Roe being overturned. And I released several of those in a message I did, The Judgment of Jehu and the Flipping of Roles. But I saw the nation, and we were a ship. The top, it was like a submarine, and there was half of it was of the Lord, and the bottom half was driven by none other than Moloch himself. And you could see it was like two submarines. They took the top off and then they welded them together. That's what it looked like. And I saw the Lord preparing our nation to flip Roe. I saw him doing it. And inside the ship was the intercessors. And the intercessors were running and running and running and running and running, and they were running as fast as they possibly could. And as they did, we saw that that submarine begin to flip. And it stood straight up and down. which seemed like it was doing for some time. But the intercessors did not back down. They continued. And they ran and they ran and they ran. And this is indicative of our intercession. And in the appointed moment, that ship slammed down on the water. And I noticed that the water had actually been blood. This was a dream I had, and I dreamt in color. It was all in blood, and as that ship flipped over, there was water coming from it that began to cleanse the waters and turn them from red to pure blue waters, like what you would see in Hawaii or the Caribbean. They were beautiful waters. And as that ship flipped and as it hit the ground, I saw light shoot across our nation. The light of the living God. And when people saw the difference in our country of the lifting of the curse of abortion off our land, you know, the Constitution, we've talked about this before, was ordained by God. It was led by God. There's many, many scripture references in there. And there is a copy. Well, we have the copy. There is an original in gold in heaven. My mom has seen it. So for them to use a document that the Lord has a copy of, or the original, sorry, in heaven, as a method for bloodletting, as a reason for bloodletting, is a great, it's heresy. So to see that curse broken off of our nation at the head, at where the Constitution lies, will break stronghold off our nation. I saw the difference in the atmosphere of our country. And when people saw life, when they saw life begin to matter, scales fell off their eyes because they had been under such deception, believing it was about a woman's right to choose, a woman's right to privacy, believing the lie of the enemy. But when this was overturned, those scales came off their eyes and they began to fight for life. And I saw this taking place in state after state as they began to fight for life at a state level. This is where we are. We are the ecclesia. And God is calling us to be extrospective. Look out at His plans. Look out at His purposes. And release those kingdom purposes in our nation. He didn't call us to be charity church mouse, where we sit quietly inside. He called us to influence the nation in which we live through our vote, through the release of the truth from our pulpits, through the embracing of those that find themselves in difficulties, and helping them instead of persecuting them, helping them with their unplanned pregnancies. He called us to influence through our vote, through releasing this information into our people so that our people are aware of what the Word of God says about life. Job 10, he talks about how God formed him in his womb. In his mother's womb. how he put his sinew together, his flesh upon his bones. In Psalms 139, David cries out to God in recognition that he was knit, he was formed within his mother's womb. That at the moment of conception, God visits. That's what the Word of God says. That's the fight of the Ecclesia. That's the truth the Ecclesia must release. The intercessors, you know and understand how serious this fight is. But I'm telling you that when this final breakthrough comes, we are going to see a release in our nation. This week I was in prayer before this release, before the it was quote-unquote leaked. And I saw the skies, and they were embroiled in a battle. The war was so fierce in the skies over our nation. And I said, Lord, what is going on? And I knew he just dropped it into my heart. This is about the fight for the unborn. As we pray, we will get the victory. Good and evil. We're really in a Mount Carmel moment. We cannot let up, and we cannot give up, because the promises of God are yes and amen. And what we see taking place in these states, just like John said, the Lord told me, watch DeSantis. He gave me a dream of it. He said, watch DeSantis, and you will see what I am doing with my nation. He calls this nation his nation. And what is DeSantis doing? He's fighting for truth, for justice, for righteousness to return to our nation. From his state first. The Lord was saying, that's the heart, really. And that's what can be done when the people of the state can elect people who reflect their values. That's the kind of stuff you'll accomplish. He's working legislation right now to end abortion in his state. He's already dialed it way back. This is the most exciting time of our lives, my friends, when we have the privilege in the year of Jubilee to see the curse of abortion end. The curse lifted. Now, over the next few days and few weeks, we're going to need to pray over abortion, over the justices, pray for their protection. We need to pray right now because the Ecclesia is going to about to see it in mass hit their doors on a Sunday, because the abortion industry is paying, of course, people who will go and protest this decision in front of the church steps. They're violent and they're aggressive, so we need to pray that this chaos will be brought down and that God will begin to deal with them, because when this is completed, even their eyes will be opened to the deception they've been in. Now, because of this, we're going to add another day to our prayer time. It's going to be, instead of Wednesday morning, we're going to meet Wednesday evenings. And we're going to start a little bit early for our East Coasters, so it'll be 4:30 The call-in time will be 4:20, so that we can get you out of here, you know, before 11 o'clock at night. So we'll need to do this for a few weeks. So if you can join us, please make every effort. We're fighting for the lives of the unborn, and we're fighting for those who actually stood on the side of justice. Justice is being released in our nation. What a privilege to witness it after all these years.